Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Man, it is another one of those hot days here in North Carolina. We just got hit over the weekend, though, with a pretty bad storm that took out a whole lot of people's power all throughout North Carolina and just across the border from where I am in South Carolina as well. But we're talking like hundreds of thousands of people. We were affected as well. Was forced off air Friday night when the storm came. And we live in an area, obviously, with a lot of trees. I live in a rural area, and trees got knocked down. And it took them like a day and a half to restore our power. And in other parts, like some people in Charlotte, power still has not been restored. And so, yeah, it's good to be back with full power on these airwaves on this Monday afternoon. Hope that my voice finds you safe and sound in relative safety and of sound mind as much as possible, given the current conditions of a war that is being waged upon black people in this country. Now, there is basically, let's just have an open forum. Really, today is just another open forum day. We don't have any guest schedule, although I may choose some articles and some topics. We don't have to stick to the script. The listeners determine where this dialogue, where this conversation goes. But there are some things that I do want to talk about as it pertains to President Obama. I also stated Friday on my show that I would give an update on Hillary Clinton. And, of course, you know, I also talked about President Obama coming here to North Carolina and vouching for Hillary Clinton as the most qualified to be the next CEO of USA Inc. He was asked about her handling of top secret intelligence, you know, through her multiple private servers. I thought it was just one, but it was multiple private servers and unapproved electronic devices that they were using, like in places like China, where you as a diplomat going to be targeted for, you know, electronic interception of your communications. I mean, that's just damn common sense. Come on now. So I want to talk about that. All right. But it's something that's on my mind. A person kind of made me angry, and I overreacted, and I was kind of emotional, and I already apologized to that person for my reaction. But I'm tired of black people making excuses for the misbehavior of the black people. And then when we call out their behavior that is aiding the system of white supremacy, you know, people get mad. They want to be pissed off, as, you know, was said to me, which kind of provoked my reaction. But I shouldn't have reacted the way that I did. No excuse for that. I'm only human. But I'm just tired of hearing excuses, because what I'm hearing, what I hear when I hear whatever excuse you want to come up with, all right, what I'm hearing is black people are cowards, or I'm hearing black people are monkeys to be trained by white supremacists. And they follow that training to a letter. Just, you know, any damn excuse you can make for a black person to not use their free will to practice justice, but to use their free will to practice injustice. All right. I don't believe in the superiority of white people or the supremacy of white people. Just because somebody murdered their way to and raped their way to the top of the food chain, and they currently sit there, that does not make that person, that being, because we're talking about flesh and blood creatures who engage in demonic rituals and what have you, or they're atheists and they, you know, really don't have no moral code whatsoever. Not to say atheists don't have moral codes, so let me just correct that, because I've had some black atheists on that, you know, were moral, respectable people. And they were just trying to organize black atheists to you know, unite with each other and you know, fellowship, we could call it, you know, human contact, where people who practice something that they practice, something they have in common in addition to being black. All right. But so I'm just tired of that, you know, because I hate, you know, to use myself as an example. But, you know, it took me about maybe a year to recover from losing my job for standing up and saying something about the mistreatment of a black woman who was being sexually harassed by the white vice president. You know, I knew full well I was putting my job, so-called job, on the line. But then how can I look my mother or anybody else in the eye, my daughters in the eye, you know, as a man? Not to make it about gender, but, you know, our ideal of how men are supposed to be the protectors and the providers and this and that, but yet we don't stand up because we afraid of losing a job. And one thing, you know, that my mother constantly says and has so for, I mean, long as I can remember, is that you don't depend on man for anything. You don't depend on man for a job. You don't depend on man to provide any of your needs. But you rely on the Creator. All right. So I have that mindset anyway. I don't rely on anybody else. I just do what I have to do to achieve whatever it is I need to achieve. So I'm just don't want to hear excuses. And I know perfectly how racism and white supremacy work. I know the repercussions of a black person standing up. I mean, we see it all throughout history. It's in slavery, when a slave rebelled and what have you. But they did rebel, though, didn't they? They kept on rebelling. So I certainly understand the weakened position that black people are in this country, given our numbers being a minority. But then, even then, that's not an excuse. There are 40 million or more black people in this country. So this whole minority stuff, you know what I'm saying, that also plays into a defeatist attitude. Well, I can't do this because I ain't got the numbers. 40 million plus people's a lot of damn people. You can get a lot done if you could get everybody on the same page. And that brings me back to President Obama. Now, I know that people listen to this program, and let me make sure I'm dialed into the conference line. I know people tuned in, listen to this program, are codified. They subscribe to Neely Fuller's Compensatory Code book, and I agree with many other things that's in that book. But two times in 1 week I have seen people attempting to be codified. You know, well, I just say they codified. But they got a misunderstanding of what VGQ means. Victim Guaranteed Qualification. And I've noticed this over the years, you know, that I've become aware, you know, of Mr. Fuller's ideals on counter racism and the, you know, the stuff that's in his book. So when I read what he wrote about victim guaranteed qualification, that does not, I do not get from it. And I scored pretty high on every standardized test I ever took on reading comprehension. And I did not get from anything that he wrote that that means no criticizing black people, period. And when I first heard it, before I read it, but when I first heard it and heard people talk about it in those terms, I was like, that's not even logical. That makes no logical sense. So what, you know, like, we're not supposed to use examples to teach our children life lessons on what was considered correct behavior or incorrect behavior, right from wrong, what's practicing justice and injustice. How are we supposed to use those, you know, teach our children without using these real life examples of incorrect behavior? We'll point at the people in the hood and say, oh, they shouldn't have been sagging, or they shouldn't have been selling CDs, or they should have said yes sir, no ma'am, or we'll certainly correct that behavior, and we'll put out recommendations and on how to survive on the plantation and stuff like that. But when it comes to people aiding the system, non-white people, and I'm talking to black people specifically, like, we're not supposed to say nothing about John Lewis telling the world that, you know, when he used to get hit and beaten bloody by cops, that he would just thank them for their service. When we see these people criticizing the acts and saying, you know, violence never solves anything, or what? Sergeant, yes, we have posthumously promoted him to sergeant from PFC, but Micah Xavier Johnson, sergeant, we want to say that was wrong. But then the CEO of USA Inc., Mr. Obama, walks around with a kill list in his pocket. They done it. Look, this has been on mainstream news. He did an interview about it and about the little cabinet meetings they have on Tuesday and decide, you know, who presents the best opportunity for us to send a drone. Do we got a drone base in that part of the world? You know, these drones got pretty, you know, good reach. They can travel hundreds of miles. So we can send a drone from, let's say, Somalia and send it, you know, into Europe or other parts of Africa. I mean, these things got range, and they sit around deciding who they gonna extrajudicially murder, just like a cop on the street. Ain't that what everybody's saying wrong? That it's wrong to extrajudicially murder people over broken tail lights, or, you know, really they're not being killed over broken tail lights. That's even incorrect behavior. Or language. They're being killed because there's a war on black people, not because they riding around with busted taillights, or they failed to put on a signal, or something like that, or they were sagging down the street, or they ran from police. That's not why they being killed. They being killed because there's a war on black people. And we have sick, sadistic individuals working as slave catchers. I mean, it's an oxymoron to suggest that they're good slave catchers. But what I'm saying is we really do have sociopaths in these departments. I think Max has called them serial killers, where they got like 4 and 5 bodies on them. That's why the police union fights to keep their personnel files private. These are serial killers. These are known killers on the freaking job. So I can talk about that, but I can't talk about the fact that the CEO of USA Inc. does the same thing all over the world, primarily against non-white people. I think everybody on the kill list that has been killed has been non-white. So it's not logical. It's not logical to me. And then you're misstating Mr. Fuller's work. Now, if I don't agree with something that he says or he wrote, and not for the sake of just criticizing, but for the sake of dialogue, and let's think about this further, and how can we improve upon this? Does this make sense? It might have made sense 30 years ago, but do it make sense today? Can it be applied today? Not just to be saying somebody's wrong about something, but just examining things on a deeper level. But I can say that. I can say, well, I disagree with black people who engage in Mecca killing themselves, because suicide is a mortal sin to many of the major spiritual practices of spiritual people. We don't advocate suicide. That's a mortal sin. That's the worst thing you can do to oneself. If I had to take Mecca, if I'm not trying to get away, or even if I'm trying to get away, you know, battling to the death is still the same as suicide. But you're not dying by your own hand. So, but again, you know, we should be examining everything. But it just really disturbs me that the stuff I really agree with him on, you know, where I think I can't even improve upon what he said. There's no more thought to be had on the matter. And then people misrepresenting it, or they just, I don't know. I shouldn't assume that everybody's on the same reading level and have the same reading comprehension. But I want to read Victim Guaranteed Qualifications, VGQ. I'm going to read it in its entirety without comment. And somebody tell me, please, what am I missing? Where am I getting? There is no criticism or talking about any black person, no matter what they do. Where'd I get that? Well, I'm not getting that from this, but I'm going to read it. Victims Guaranteed Qualifications, VGQ. Minimize conflict by maximizing constructive interaction between non-white people. Criteria number one, no non-white person should criticize or critique what another non-white person says and or does in response to being a victim of racism, white supremacy. Explanation, reason. This helps to minimize confusion between non-white people under the system of white supremacy. All people classified as and forced to function as non-white by white people that choose to practice white supremacy, which is racism, are victims of white supremacy and are qualified to say and or do whatever they deem necessary in response to the unjust system of white supremacy, racism, at any time or in any place, in all areas of people activity, including economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Racist logic. To maximize confusion among people they classify as non-white by using words with definition that do not reveal truth. To keep non-white people focused on fighting with each other. Counter-racist logic. To maximize understanding of what's happening by using words that reveal truth in such a manner that justice and correctness is promoted. To minimize conflict between non-white people. All right. So, like I said, Sergeant Johnson had VGQ. People criticizing what he did are hypocrites if they ain't therefore criticizing what President Obama's doing, what the white people in his cabinet are doing, what Hillary Clinton has done and will do if she is able to ascend to that position. All right. When President Obama blames black people for these race soldiers killing us in the street, he don't get victim guaranteed qualification for that, because he is not saying something in response as a victim of white supremacy. What he is saying is on behalf of white supremacy, which is to victim blame. He can come out his mouth all day long about obeying the law. Remember, you know, the verdicts with Trayvon Martin when Zimmerman found innocent, and case after case where he has commented. He always say, you know, after they let the killer go, we a nation of laws and order, and blah, blah, blah. You may not like the verdict, but we a nation of laws, so we need to abide by that verdict. That's not saying anything in response to the racism and white supremacy being practiced in the judicial system. That's letting all these racist killers go free through acts of jury nullification, through judicial nullification, or activist judges on the bench. A response is to counter something, not support it. He's not giving a response to the killings of black people. He blaming them, suggesting that we, you know, for example, suggesting today that when these killings happen, these killings of these cops happen, it makes it hard to do reform. Look, y'all ain't trying to do no reform to begin with. What? How many commissions do they need to set up that come up with recommendations that ain't even laws? You can't make them do anything. All you can do is suggest. That, man, that ain't worth the paper it's printed on. But you'll say what he did, what Mr. Johnson did was wrong, but you don't have such strong condemnation for these killer cops. The strongest thing he has said, he said recently, and that is, he said, I don't think these are isolated incidents. You know, Captain Obvious. That's obvious these aren't isolated incidents when you got thousands of people, regardless of their skin color, being killed by cops. It's obvious these are not isolated incidents when you have a tally of over thousands a year. Think right now, they about to hit 700 thus far this year. But I've never heard him say these are unacceptable. Violence isn't the answer. No strong condemnation of these cops. He's very, very careful before he say something against white supremacy. He chooses his words carefully. He dances. But when it comes to black people's response, whether that response is through counter violence or whether that response is through nonviolent occupation of the streets, of public spaces and what have you, he got something to say, something critical to say. So and I've heard people say he sound like he codified. That man ain't codified. I've been studying him since he popped on the scene. This man is not codified. He do know right from wrong. He do know what racism and white supremacy is. But he ain't acting codified. He ain't acting in a manner that would promote justice. Ain't that the whole point of codification? To promote justice? To counter injustice? You don't counter injustice by aiding it. And we just make excuses. We make excuses. And it's really the excuses are tied to anti-blackness and inferiority complex, because you actually believe in your mind that white people are superior to you. Again, simply because they on top of the food chain momentarily. You know, when we look at history in its entirety, they just a blink of an eye in power. What, 300 years, 400 years maybe, out of tens and hundreds of thousands of human history? We make excuses. We just say that they fearful. That's being more truthful about it. Just say they a coward. They cowards. If you won't come up with scientific reasoning about some kind of fear gene that has been passed down to African Americans who were enslaved, we want to, you know, say that they wired, you know, white supremacy has had such an impact on black brains that it has retarded their ability to effectively counter racism. You know, those, I would consider those to be viable explanations. But when you just tell me, when you make the accusation that I don't understand racism and white supremacy and how it works, and that's why I'm speaking out against injustice, no matter who does it, black, white, or whatever, because, you know, I have played the clips of even Mr. Neely Fuller saying it ain't about being black, it ain't about being white, it ain't about waving this flag or waving that flag if your whole aim is to practice injustice. That's why I tell people, man, you have to get stuff for yourself. You just can't go off of what I tell you. You can't go, definitely don't listen to the people, the corporate heads out there, corporate media heads, the political pundits, social media commentators. You have to look up stuff for yourself. When they say somebody else said something, that man, you got to go straight to the source. Because either they didn't comprehend or interpret what they read the same way, you know, that you interpreted and comprehended it, then there can be some honest dialogue on, well, why did you get it that way? Why did you take it that way? You know, and this is why I took it this to mean that, you know. We can have some honest dialogue then. But I'm telling you, man, a lot of people will misrepresent the words. You know, it just disgusted me. And I'm not going to call no names, that somebody attempted to use Mr. Fuller's words to justify the murdering of homosexuals. I was just disgusted by that. If we want to talk about it being anti-sexual behavior in terms of reproduction, That's scientific. That's biological. That ain't based in no kind of hate or anything like that. If we want to talk about the negative impacts that we feel it may have on black culture or black family life or whatever, that's not based in hate. But when we start talking about the Bible said that, you know, the penalty for homosexuality is death, we should stone these people and kill them and all that, I don't see how that promotes justice. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I have never heard Mr. Fuller promote mass murdering of homosexuals or ever justified any kind of violence against any human being, period. So we had to be careful, but I felt like I had to say that, because a person who told me, I don't, you know everybody that listened to the radio station, because, I mean, you know, on social media, we connected to thousands of people. We may not know them personally, but we, you know, share ideals and thoughts and whatnot through social media and have dialogue. And I definitely don't know, you know, that many of the hundreds of thousands of people that have tuned into this station over the years. But this person said they're a longtime listener specifically to this program. And I already apologize for my response to them, because I was already feeling some kind of way about people making excuses for President Obama or attacking me for pointing out his incorrect behavior. If you can't handle that, then, don't listen. block me on Facebook. I ain't following you. I ain't got, you know, we ain't even friends, you know, so-called friends on Facebook. You following my statuses. Stop following them. If this pains you so much for me to point out the obvious incorrect behavior in aiding white supremacists specifically in the system of white supremacy by a black person, then again, go somewhere else. Let the grown-ups talk. I know there's a lot of anti-blackness out there, but again, these people practicing injustice ain't got nothing to do with their skin color. It got to do with their actions. Nothing to do with skin color. There's melanin does not make you always practice justice. Or, you know, it doesn't have, that's not its role in your body. That's not its biological function. Its biological function is a natural sunscreen to give you protection from the sun. That's what melanin is. And we can get deeper into the metaphysics and all that, but that's a whole nother show. But it has no effect on your morality, on your spiritual principles or you know, your moral compass. No. People have free will. Free will to practice injustice or the free will to practice justice. I don't know. I shouldn't be telling my children when you on the job, you know, you need to just go along with wrongdoing and be a party to, you know, stuff criminal just because this person got a title that's your store manager or whatnot and they want to rip off the store, but they need your participation to rip the store off. No, you don't do that. You don't let somebody make you compromise your moral position. You do the right thing and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. If that person want to make up a reason to fire you, then you fight that, you know, later on down the road. But fear of losing your job because you got a home to come to. You got a family. You got people that's going to help you until you get another job. That's all I'm saying. If it works on, you know, on that level, it works at the highest levels of government. You don't go around with criminals and white supremacists and telling people when your own doggone administration gave this woman a scathing report. The FBI laid out the crimes that she violated, even though if James Comey didn't lie and said that the statutes required a proof of intent. But lying for a year about something is intent. Trey Gowdy, Representative Trey Gowdy, really ripped Robert Comey a new one. I mean, how do you explain to that? How do you explain that to your children? How you just going to overlook criminality and wrongdoing, and then you want to try to tell them they need to follow the rules of the house. Y'all think these young people stupid? You think they don't see your hypocrisy? This is incorrect behavior, and we have to correct it. But, you know, don't claim that I'm violating some kind of code of VGQ or misusing VGQ to say that all black people have a excuse to say whatever they want to say, because that ain't what I got from that. It says if I do something in response to racism and white supremacy that's been practiced against me, whether you agree with what I did or not, it ain't for you to publicly be criticizing me because I did it against as a response to racism and white supremacy. Nowhere do I get from this that we should just sit by silently and say nothing to our children, say nothing to our peers when high profile showcase black people engage in incorrect behavior and aid the system of racism and white supremacy. Damn, how can you ever hope to overcome such a system? And it will be overcome. People have all throughout history overcome great odds, and I have no doubt that the system will be eliminated. But it won't be eliminated if you believe that these people are invincible. Because they're not. The empire is falling apart as we freaking speak. Right now, there's probably plans to send poor kids, whether they be white, black, or whatever, middle-class kids. They finna get these kids. They're finna be a whole bunch of casualties with them messing with Russia and them messing with China. It's war drills being going on right now. And Russia and China ain't playing. And y'all can believe in the white supremacy, and I know the Russians is primarily white people too and Caucasians, but if you think the Chinese can't inflict mutual destruction on the USA, then, you know, I just hate it for you. You're not living in reality. Because you see these people, the USA is so big and bad, our military is so big and bad, and nobody can take them on. We could go around the world and do what we want to. Keep thinking about that. You keep thinking like that. You ain't actually studied military conflicts. But the whole point is I don't want to see all these casualties, man. You got 22 vets a day that's killing themselves after the horror that they inflicted on non-white people in Afghanistan, Iraq, and everywhere else they may be. Why do you think these people killing themselves? Huh? Maybe perhaps they went over there with a halfway conscience or whatever, and then they just allowed themselves to go along with an extermination plan and participate, and they just sick. They sick because, see, they've been programmed to think that, you know, the Nazis did that kind of stuff. They was the worst people on the planet. You know, Nazi guards, they still hunting them down, putting them in prison, prosecuting them, putting them in prison. But then you got American soldiers engaged in the same sort of genocide. And it has an effect on some people. They feel guilty, man. They feel guilty, and no amount of counseling is going to help them. And even though cannabis is scientifically been proven to help them, there are still people who want to put them in jail for even using cannabis when it's shown to help people with PTSD. That's why I estimate 700,000 vets in prison, majority of them black, because they were self-medicating with a plant that actually helps their PTSD. And they know this, but these cops still putting them in jail, still arresting them, still putting them in slavery. People, we live in dire straits. We can't be playing no games. Things are speeding up in the world. There's just something different in the universe. And I ain't all about trying to survive nothing. I'm trying to be victorious. I ain't trying to be a victim. I'm trying to be victorious. I have to think, you know, in my mind and believe that I can achieve. I mean, these are basic principles, even business principles. How can you do something if you don't believe you can do it? If you believe that you permanently in this status and always will be, because white people so damn smart, smarter than black people. I don't believe that, man. What it is that, you know, black people for the most part ain't been willing to engage in a sort of slaughter that they have been engaging in for thousands of years. We ain't been doing stuff like that. We're pretty much a humane people. The crime that you see in the so-called inner cities, that's all engineered by the government. engineered by corporations playing murder music 24/7 through the airways. That's that programming. But guess what? That ain't the majority of the 40 million black people. So y'all can point at a few hundred thousand out of 40 million. I don't even think that's 1% of black people. But we'll put that all up on the headlines and whatnot. And we'll proclaim that black people don't care about other black people. Look at all the killing that they're doing and what have you. And that is not the reality for the majority of people. It's just these hot spots, these concentration camps, we'll call them. Although, you know, America could rightly be described as one giant concentration camp. But in these particular areas, they call them high poverty areas, where we've reported news stories on different programs of cops smuggling guns, giving them to the drug cartels, smuggling dope, the DEA, U.S. government, cutting deals with cartels to smuggle dope. Man, come on. Why are you going to blame the most vulnerable among us and not even acknowledge what the government is doing? And then want to buy into like this is some kind of thing that most black people is doing, is engaged in killing each other. That is just simply not true. Anyway, I didn't mean to go on this rant, but I'm just feeling a certain kind of way, man. Especially since, you know, they blew up Sergeant Johnson and whatnot, and the hypocritical things that I'm hearing from people. Why the commander-in-chief of USA Inc., of the U.S. military, has a kill list. He gave these people no trial. You don't even know who they are. You don't know what they done or if they done anything, but you just don't act like it ain't happening. But you want to talk stuff about somebody in the hood robbing somebody with a gun or shooting somebody in the hood. And this man is droning the hell out of folks, man. Men, women, and children. We won't talk about the innocents in the hood that get killed in the drive-by. We call them, you know, the innocent bystanders. Man, do you know how many innocent bystanders these drones have taken out? This kind of hypocrisy just really, really bothers me. This kind of making excuses for killers, man, just based on their skin. Oh, you black, you get a pass. You can do and say whatever the hell you want to say. You can kill all the freaking black people you want to kill. And we ain't going to say nothing about it. Because we don't believe you have free will. We believe you a trained monkey because black people is inferior. And y'all know y'all come from monkeys. And therefore, white people have that advantage over you. And so don't blame Obama. He's just a trained fucking monkey. Excuse my language. I'm angry at the hypocrisy. Then we think we gonna come out for under something. And man, I tell you, all I see is a lot of confusion. So, I didn't mean to go on that rant, but I guess I did because I went on one. But I am open to all sort of criticism because I don't put myself on no pedestal like that. I'm a human being. I'm prone to mistakes. I don't have all the information, although I do a lot of studying and reading. I don't have all the information, so I can make mistakes. That's why you're supposed to help me. But no, you are not helping me when you try to badger me for calling out injustice no matter where I see it. I could see if I was being petty or something like that. No, I ain't being petty. We talking about human beings in slavery, being murdered all over the planet. What does that say to our children to go along with it? And that's one of the things, we don't want to have that conversation, do we? About how all throughout history we have aided white supremacy, the spread of it, myself included. But I'm trying to do better now that I know better. And I'm trying to inform people so that they know better. But I'm going to take a station identification break. Then when we come back, I'll open up the phone lines. If nobody has anything they would like to add, any questions, observations, anything that you just want me to take another look at and to reconsider my point of view on this or that, I'm not going to shut you down. But I'm not going to sit over here silently and let people tell lies or misrepresent other people's work or promote the illogical. And I definitely ain't going to, you know, other people, what they do on their programs, even on this station, they you know, long as they don't go too far in something that could affect all of us and have a negative impact, you pretty much say what you want. But I'm definitely going to say what it is, you know, that I feel. And you know, you can say what you want on this program, too. I don't shut people down. I try to hear you out. So let me take this station identification break. The conference line number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. Hit *6 and 1 if you want to come in on air from the conference line. You can give us a call on the studio line. That's 704-951-5030. Again, that's 704-951-5030. If you send us a Skype contact or if we're in your Skype context, hit us up on Skype, Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I do see we got a caller. Let me come to you, caller. Oh, we got someone calling in on the studio line. Let me answer that one. Area code 414, you're on Black Talk Radio. Go ahead with your question, comment.
Oh, I just wanted to add something I saw on the news. Said two bailiffs and a shooter dead outside the Michigan courtroom.
They would probably be sheriff deputies, bailiffs outside. Okay, man, looks like we about to lose power again. So if we are gone, because it sounds another
story. I usually call in on the 641 number, but I don't think it's connected right now. I was listening through that number, and then it went off. So I started listening through the Internet, and then you gave out the other number. So that's why I called this line here.
Okay, I'm looking in it now, and I see that it's not working. So thank you for informing me of that. Let me call back in because it must have got disconnected.
This service is provided in high definition by free conference call HD.com.
This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we connected back.
All right.
Now, you were saying that you just read a story about in Michigan. Are you still there, caller? Okay, let me hang up here. All right, let me go to this other call, 414. 414, can you have a question or comment?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, it was. It said two bailiffs and the shooter was dead. Outside of a Michigan courthouse. I didn't listen to the news. I was listening to the program, so I didn't get a chance to listen to it. But I had just saw it when as your program started, so I don't know how long ago it even happened.
24 minutes ago, Fox News reported at least four people reported shot at Michigan courthouse. Two bailiffs, a gunman dead in shooting at Michigan courthouse, sheriff says. So, yeah. So if y'all want to check that story out, I've been noticing other stories of individuals getting into incidents with one or two cops and you know, just more than I've seen, a recent spate of killings of cops than I've seen in a very long time as somebody who, you know, regularly follows the news and whatnot. And there's just something different in the air, man. People are angry. Let me put it in terms that the majority population can understand. You know, when they tell those tales and stuff about the so-called founding fathers being tired of having the boot on their neck and being oppressed by old big bad King George and all that, I think that's the mindset, you know, that people are starting to have, man. I think they think that that the government, and I'm not just talking about the USA Inc., but, you know, their little local governments, state governments, municipalities, these police departments are not, they're not being honest. They're being deceptive, man, in trying to fix the problem because they don't see it as a problem and they want to continue to do what they want to do. So I just think that more and more people are seeing that, you know, all we're going to get is a bunch of talk from politicians and they're taking the quote unquote law into their own hands, man.
Yeah. And, to kind of touch on what you was, hitting on, I'll just say this. When I was arrested, I did, was sentenced to 13 years in prison, did five and then was paroled.
Okay.
I just turned 18 years old. I was still in my senior year of high school. I think my last grade on my report card was like a 4-point average. And when I was arrested, the officer seen me. I fit a profile. I had a long hair to my shoulders at the time, and a box Chevy car.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I fit a profile. So the police officers rolled past me, made a U-turn, and then came into a store and got me. And the officers that arrested me was two black officers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you was talking about, you know, VGQ and people, you know, not criticizing other black people and, you know, things of that nature. That just brought that situation back to my mind. You know, I really don't even know how I really feel about that. But I do know that and one of Dr. Welzing's time on the cows, she said, it's actually time for President Obama to put racism, white supremacy on top of the table.
I'll
mute my line.
I do also remember hearing her saying that black people are responsible for their actions. I mean, we can't claim to be adults or any kind of mature culture or civilization or you know, whatever word you want to use to describe black people's mindset. We can't be adults and then, you know, want to be treated like children. See, it's children that don't want to be held accountable. Whenever my grandsons do something wrong that they know they're not supposed to do, and through training we go to correct them, they don't want to be corrected. My grandson, the one that's five, it makes me laugh, you know, I try to get away from my daughter sometimes when she correcting him because he want, because something he says makes me want to laugh, and I don't want him to see me laughing, so I walk out the room and stuff. But like, he kicked me between my legs the other day. I was bent over, and he kicked me between my legs, and I stood up. He ain't really, really hurt me or anything like that, but I was like, you don't kick people behind your legs. And so his mama was like explaining to him, you don't do that. You don't kick Pawpaw between the legs. You don't kick nobody between the legs. And he kept saying, but I want to be funny. I want people to laugh. Like, you know, probably he done seen people or seen somebody on TV or something get kicked in between the legs and everybody laughing and laughing at it. And so he want to be funny. You know what I'm saying? It's children that don't want to be corrected. All right. So is that what you telling me, that that black people are like little monkey children? You know, I'll never forget that line in Glory, one of my all time favorite movies. All right. Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman. It was about the 54th Massachusetts Regiment. All right. In the Union Army and whatnot. And then one of those white supremacists who owned slaves, but Kentucky stayed with the Union. And again, this gets into, you know, why Lincoln never took a stand against slavery. He was all about keeping, you know, the Union together, this empire that they trying to build together, and it wasn't about slavery for him and whatnot. But in that movie, in that scene, one of the officers, this white officer from Kentucky, he was like pointing at the field slaves who didn't have military training and didn't have that discipline, and he ain't tried to train them or give them no discipline, but how they were just running around, you know, like in chaos and looting the town, which he told them they were looting the town for him. He was the crook, you know. But then he was talking about them to the other white person, saying, look at them, look at them. They're like little monkey children, for God's sake. You think somebody's going to put them into battle? They're little children. And see, sometimes that's what I hear when I hear excuses, is that there is something physically and mentally wrong with us that we can't choose justice over injustice. Four 414, can you speak up a little bit?
Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can hear you, but you're coming in okay. Low.
All right. I guess I would say from my logic, I guess Mr. Fuller was just trying to minimize the conflict between non-white people. That's all, you know, that's it. But I don't think a person can think critically without criticizing people, situations, whether that's constructive criticism or not. And thanks for taking the call. Mm-hmm.
Let me read the explanation. And I agree with this. I agree with victim guaranteed qualification, but people are misusing it. I'm going to read it again. All right. Criteria. It's not very long. It's actually one sentence. One sentence. He gives a bunch of more. You know, he uses a bunch of more words in his explanation, but this is the criteria, though. No non-white person should criticize or critique what another non-white person says and or does in response to being a victim of racism, white supremacy. That means if I go out here and kill a bunch of white people because some white racist, then, you know, kidnapped and raped my daughter, and I'm gonna blame all white people for it, and you're not supposed to critique me because I'm doing it because of, as a response to white supremacists or these poor racists, okay, raping and killing my daughter. All right, you ain't supposed to criticize that. If I'm Micah Johnson and I take out a bunch of race soldiers in response to other race soldiers executing black men, we don't get to criticize him. We don't get to say that's wrong. We don't get to say to condemn him.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Just hearing you reread that, do you think that person that you had the conflict with, or, you know, whatever, do you think that they may have been coming from the perspective that black people are in the context of white supremacy and are always victims and being victimized, and that's why they said what they said?
It's possible. I don't know. That person would have to answer for themselves, but they use VGQ specifically, and why I pulled
up. Right, and that had just struck me as you reread that, and that's why I said that. But
In response to being a victim of racism and white supremacy, if white supremacists give me a promotion, I'm not victim. I'm being rewarded. I'm not being victimized.
Right, but I would say, I'll use myself personally.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I am constantly being victimized from the situation I told you earlier. Like, I'm a felon now, so
right.
It never stops.
Right.
And I wonder if so. No, I'll ask another question. Is there anything comparable to a black person being a felon in under the system of white supremacy, do you think?
Anything comparable to a felon?
Or like where a black person is just like constantly victimized over and over.
I'm not here.
You can't live over here.
Right. You're a long time listener of the program, and you've often heard me say, you know, you don't hear me too much complaining about how I'm being mistreated other than and I was thinking about this today too, and I'm glad it just came to my remembrance. I don't say a word against the Gaston County Police, because the Gaston County Police ain't doing what these race soldiers that I see in all these other places doing. Okay, now are they, you know, responding to domestic violence calls and come across some drugs or doing traffic stops and setting up speed traps? Yes, but I know where those speed traps are. I know what areas to avoid. I'm still trying to teach my children the back roads, so you don't have to go through town where they likely to set up a roadblock on the 4th of July. But see, they targeting everybody, just not black people here. So I'm not seeing a bunch of black people being gunned down in my town. I've been here, you know, moved back down here, born down here, moved away at 2 and came back at 13. And I've been here except for the 6 years I was away in the Army. And and these race soldiers, as we call them, have cut me breaks, man. They have not given me tickets. They have left me alone, have not disrespected me, you know, just acted professional and what have you.
Right.
I know it's happening elsewhere. And so I don't have that felony status. You know what I'm saying, that you have and millions of other people have. So I know I'm not going to have that same obstacle when I put in a job application or I send in my resume or I go to vote, you know, which for the first time ever since I've started voting when I was 18, I'm thinking about not voting, you know. But I'm probably going to go ahead, caller.
No, I was just saying, just in the spirit of trying to hammer it out with you, that's what I was asking. Do you think that it's anything similar to that, just to, you know, try to, you know, see a little understanding? Because, you know, like, I see both sides of it, but I'm glad you're bringing it to the light, because I was just feeling that way today. Like, you know, I really don't know how I feel about black police officers. As a child, I had an uncle in the military, in the Army, and he told me specifically, he said, a black man does not have a place in the Army. And that stopped me from going to the Army. And when I think back, I don't even think he realized what he was telling me.
Maybe told me.
Right, and, you know, and I was like, man, he really saved me from taking part in oppressing my own people. You know, and oppressing non-people globally, you know.
Non-white people, you mean.
Non-white people, I'm sorry. And, you know, I just was thinking about that today. Like, you know, I said to myself, well, okay, if we can't blame the black people for just finding a job within the prison, I said, hell, well, the police departments and the army, man, or the military shouldn't ain't hire no more black people. That's what I was just saying to myself, like, because how do I not hold them accountable when these are the first lines of defense for white supremacy?
Right.
And I just go back to the two police officers that arrested me. Man, they could have let me go. That changed my whole life.
Right. They didn't get to you. You didn't get the pass that Hillary Clinton getting, did you?
Just yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, and, you know, at times, man, I feel, you know, I'm really messed up about that, you know, because I see how different my life is, you know. Yeah.
Long as you don't let it impact your overall view of black people and know that that is not the majority of black people are not operating as slave catchers. That makes sense.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that at all. No, I don't think that.
No, I'm saying don't let it lead you down that road and perhaps.
Oh, saying that other black police officers, you're saying?
No, no, black people, period.
Oh, no, I don't think that. No.
Okay. You know, because sometimes when, you know, we are harmed by somebody who look like us, you know, we might process that in different ways and somebody might process it to then say, well, I hate black men because a black man raped me and all black men are rapists. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely understand that. Now, I kind of, you know, got a little, and actually from listening to your program, you had somebody on, they was talking about, that in the United, well, even before the cocaine get here, like it's only certain companies that has the chemical to actually make the cocaine from the coca leaf.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So just understanding that and understanding the role that they made Ricky, not made them play, but the role Ricky Ross was used in. And just understanding the whole crack.
But did Ricky Ross have free will?
I think he did. I don't think he understood exactly what he was doing.
That's a big difference right there. See, I don't criticize people for not knowing something. That's why I no longer like blame black people for voting for Hillary Clinton. Because I now, with further analysis, understand the how the system put things in place to promote Hillary Clinton to black people. When your black pastor is vouching for her, when your so-called black representative is vouching for her, when the president of the United States is vouching for her, you know, I can understand how people can get confused and fall in behind it. And then people have short memories and they don't remember this woman was staying in the race in 2008 hoping for the assassination of Obama. That she was the one, her campaign was the one floating around them pictures of him in that Kenyan traditional garb and questioning his birth certificate and is he American or is he alien? Or that was the Hillary Clinton campaign. That, and so you know what I'm saying? So, again, this is why I'm saying you have to bring up Barack Obama's behavior, because how do you explain to your child or, you know, your young people, my 18-year-old, my 22-year-old, and my 23-year-old, how do I explain to them the logic in him now endorsing this woman who wished him dead in 2008, who we know was calling black children super predators, who played a tremendous role, because my kids know this now, all right? They know this, all right? They set up, you know, the current, well, I should say expanded private prison industry blew up under the Clintons in the 90s. So how do you then explain to your children why President Obama would endorse this white supremacist? So how do you explain that to them? Do you say to them, well, black people are always subservient in a system of white supremacy. We don't have any free will. We can't say no and choose to go a different route. We can't quit the job and say, I will not participate in the mass murder of all these people. I didn't know this what the job entailed in. And taking a stand.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was hard to watch him, you know, get those speeches about those tragedies. It was just hard to stomach.
This plays a role in our confusion. We know that that's what we were just reading that in what Mr. Ruler wrote, that racists want to maximize confusion. Don't you think that's confusing the children? We teach them all about right and wrong. We got these idiots out here. I shouldn't name call, but we got enemies out there that's telling us we should teach our children to respect law enforcement. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about law and order, but we, right in our face, this woman commits serious crimes against the state and mishandling classified information, letting the white supremacist battle plans get out and into enemy hands, and all, and then she held above the law, man. How do you explain that to your children? How do you then punish your child for forgetting to take the trash out, or for not doing their homework, or for breaking a rule in school? You know, they was talking during class, you know. You know, they ain't following the rules. Oh, the student hand guide say this is incorrect. I mean, come on. You see what I'm getting? This all lends to confusion when we are unwilling to have a logical conversation on the correctness or incorrectness of a particular person's behavior.
Yeah, man, that's an interesting perspective, and I definitely see where you're coming from on that. Before I drop the line, I did have a question I wanted to ask your opinion on something that I was I'm in the Milwaukee area, and I was listening to a local radio station today. I had a black alderman on, and he was encouraging black people to create an organization and get a 501c3. And I'm not too familiar with the 501c3, but I thought that that was something that that the churches get, and that's like, I guess, and this is from my understanding, that's something that you get when you have a church, and you get that makes you be able to get the money, the donations that people give you, and that makes it tax free, but also that stops you from having any type of political thought or voice or anything like that from your pulpit. And if you could add any information and clarification to okay. that, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, 501c3 is just a federally registered nonprofit. The Black Talk Media okay. Project could become a 501c3. But since I never planned to apply for any kind of federal grants or anything, the only thing that I had to get from the federal government was an employer identification number, an EIN number. All right. But I'm registered as a state nonprofit, so I don't have nothing to do with the federal government. Never planned to have anything to do with the federal government, even though for full disclosure, when we first got started that first year and a half, we did get a $5,000 grant from another state nonprofit that was a 501c3 that had gotten their grant, a bigger grant from the federal government to promote participation in the U.S. Census. So they, you know, gave us a sub grant. So indirectly, that's the only time we have ever taken money from the federal government. But after that, I decided that that's not something I want to do, because then when you have that string attached, then you have a whole set of other rules that they can use against you and say you didn't do this or you didn't do that. So I'm pretty much about keeping things simple. But the churches, I have heard, I'm not an expert on this, but I have heard over the years people say that when they could have just, you know, be set up as a religious nonprofit, a state recognized nonprofit. They don't have to get a 501c3, which all that does is make the donations that come in tax deductible for those who donate. Okay. And that still may be true if you just a state nonprofit and they're in another state. Each state got different rules. They should just ask their tax advisor. But we are a registered nonprofit, just a state. But if we was a 501c3, no matter where they are, you know, in this domestic colony, they could, you know, have it as a federal, deducted off their federal taxes and whatnot. And,
right.
And so the churches. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty Reed in for this broadcast. I apologize for the momentary outage that we just experienced. They're lost the power again, but I was able to dig out the generator out our trailer just in case we lost power again. So right now I'm running on the generator. Hopefully power won't be out around here too long. I'm not sure how much extra fuel I have, so because we got a couple of more programs to come on, so hopefully the power will be restored shortly. I may have to run out and get some fuel, so just excuse me for rambling, but that's what happened. So we're back on air. What I wanted to also point out, the last time we had the caller on and he was talking about minimizing conflict, I'm all for minimizing conflict. So if you a person, a black person, non-white person, or a white person, it don't matter. If you want to aid racism and white supremacy, you want to minimize conflict with me, stay out my way. Stay away from me. Don't talk to me. Don't interact with me. Don't say nothing about me. Don't say nothing to me. That's how we minimize that conflict right there, because we already in conflict, though. See, that's the problem. That's the issue. When you are working to aid a system of racism and white supremacy, we already in conflict right there. Because, see, again, I do not differentiate between black and white people when it comes to racism. Either you a white racist or you a black person who accessed the proxy of racist. Therefore, y'all in the same army. Y'all in the same army, and you're going to be treated the same. Now, that comes from just common sense and being in the military and knowing that, you know, there are people who look, you be put in situations where it's people who look like you trying to kill you. What the hell are you going to do? Just let them kill you? No, you not. You going to defend yourself. You going to fight. All right. So, you know, that's the best way to minimize conflict with me. Is to don't practice racism and white supremacy, and don't aid racism and white supremacy. Because when you do, we in conflict. Now, in terms of you being a victim, well, yeah, we can say traitors and turncoats are victims of their greed or victims of you know, they just weak. They weak people. Unable to resist. And we have had too many people give their lives and not helping racists and actually doing something against racists to stain their memories or to make their sacrifice null and void by giving everybody a damn pass and an excuse for helping the enemy hurt us. So, you know, again, my language, I don't know how long it's going to take me to retrain my language, but I'm going to stop talking about black congressmen and congresswomen. No, they not. That implies that we all on the same team and we're all practicing justice, or we're, you know, working to implement a system of justice when that's not the case. It's just simply, so why should we call them black if they not doing anything that's in the best interest of black people? I don't need nobody to sit up there. I don't need no whole high profile black person to say to the world that racism still exists in this country and we got to, you know, work on this. Or I don't know. I can speak for my damn self. I don't need you to do that while behind the scenes you co-signing on to these plans of the white supremacist racists for their global domination. The best thing in that situation is to, if you're a coward and whatnot, don't take those positions. If you don't have the backbone to stand up to injustice in a situation like that, then don't take the position, man. Don't take it. Because you know going in, there's going to be some conflict with the system if you trying to, quote unquote, reform the system, even though I don't like that word, but that's what they say they trying to do. They trying to eliminate the injustice in the system. Well, if you really about that, then you know what? You're going to be in conflict with the people in there. You should know that going in. The people that want the status quo, the so-called establishment, you're going to be in conflict with them. Like you see Keith Ellison, you know, the U.S. congressman out of Minnesota, who, Keith Ellison a senator or a congressman? I can't remember. But he's standing alone right now against Hillary Clinton and her super delegates and all of that. But, you know, this is something else that was brought up on Tando Radio Show. One person standing up out of 100 ain't going to get it done. It ain't going to get it done. We need at least 75 out of 100, and then we can get something done. Okay? But that's not to say don't stand up. Like I heard Dave say, you know, when we was talking about how do you react to a situation where you locked up in a bar with a dude with an assault rifle. All right. You start identifying what kind of weapons you can use, like bottles, chairs, whatever, where you can find cover. But then, like Dave was saying, you know, sometimes all it takes is one person rushing to eliminate the threat. Then other people are moved to eliminate that threat. Well, let's apply that same thing to the system. That same concept to the system. Somebody got to be against racism and white supremacy. See, Cynthia McKinney couldn't do it by herself without the other black Democrats, so-called black Democrats, standing with her. But no, what did the white supremacists do? They found another black person willing to accept some butter biscuits to run against her in the primary. When have you ever heard about a party running another candidate against one of their own? You don't see that too often. Now, that's the only time I've ever seen that. They found some get along to go along non-white person to challenge her in her district, and the white supremacists gave him all the resources. Well, not many of us gave her any resources, and she lost. See, one person can't do it, and that's why I say it's critical. Our behavior matters. We'll never, never make any gains towards implementing a system of justice if we're going to be making passes. Now, you know, I heard on another radio program, they was talking about how racist hold other races accountable when they don't adhere to the white supremacy code, right? So these the so-called smartest people on the planet, and they figured out that you can't have race traitors among you. You can't have people acting against what it is you doing. You can't have that. And they hold them accountable. Whether we in all areas of people activity. So, I mean, what's the damn difference with us then? Why would we, if they so smart, why wouldn't we want to emulate their smart tactics? Because it's certainly a tactic that's been working for them for 400-500 years. It's been working for them. They hold these white, and then, you know, we act like, you know, it's ludicrous for us to apply the same. And what does holding people accountable mean? Well, that means in whatever activity area they're in, you withdraw your support. That's how you hold them accountable. All right. Financially, economically, politically, socially, meaning that if I'm somewhere and they come around and I know you a freaking agent of the enemy, I don't talk to you at this dysfunction that's open to the public. And you, you know, you want to talk to me and all that. And no, I don't know. I'll minimize conflict. Get the hell away from me. Don't talk to me. You a social outcast. That's how you have to treat people, man. That's how you had, or otherwise they just going to keep doing what they doing. And then the children going to see how they profiting from doing what they doing. And the children going to be like, well, damn, why should I struggle and be over here struggling for justice and marching and protesting and doing acts of Mecca and all this and that. And if we going to have these other people over here, man, damn, they got an easy life. Damn, they even let them marry their women, pay them lots of money for nothing just to go speak some damn where. They get invited to all these functions, get all these honorary titles and stuff like that. And then these children be like, well, I'm going to take the easy damn route. If we don't instill in them certain principles and values, that is unacceptable. I hear people all the time talking about shunning gay people in their family. Oh, you're not invited to the family reunion because you gay or what have you. We disown you. We ostracize you because we don't agree with that lifestyle you living. But, you know, we give these proxy races a pass. Oh, come on. We're happy that you came to our restaurant, and let's take pictures and slap hands and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, treat them like celebrities and all. And these people harming us. And it's not like, you know, it's easy. It's not easy to see the ways that they are. But again, to come up with every damn excuse in the world, it's just illogical. It don't work like that. In real life, it don't work like that on the battlefield, man. That's what you got to see. Like I was reading the other day, some people just don't understand war. You don't understand war if you don't think it's unacceptable for people to aid the enemy. I mean, that should be logic right there. But again, we don't all have the same backgrounds. We don't have, you know, the same talents and whatnot. We, you know, everybody don't learn the same, or, you know, they just, I don't know how to say it except for saying that it's unacceptable to me to sit by and not teach my children that why it was wrong for President Obama to come to North Carolina and endorse this white supremacist named Hillary Clinton. Because they don't say, Dad, Dad, didn't you say Hillary Clinton did this and did that? And wasn't she calling us super predators and all this and that? And didn't she play a role in the mass enslavement of even more black people than the history of slavery in this country through the prisons? And you know, didn't she engineer and lie on all those black people in Libya and say Gaddafi gave them Viagra to push the myth of the black rapist? I mean, come on, y'all. That's like one of the old ones right there, tactics, propaganda tactics of white supremacy, is to portray black men as sexual beasts and monsters who just want to rape everybody. That's what Hillary Clinton said. That's what that black woman, Susan Rice, said. These are the lies they put forth that resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of black people in Libya. I saw a documentary the other day that I hadn't come across. It's about an hour or so long of talking to people who had been on the ground in Libya and talking about how all these black people was being targeted. And then we got Hillary Clinton's emails where Sidney Blumenthal, the white supremacist businessman who helped Hillary Clinton make contacts with jihadist Islamists to overthrow, and he told her in an email that they committing, them Arabs is committing war crimes against the black population. Did you hear her say something about some Black Lives Matter and violence, and, you know, put a stop to this? Did you hear CEO Obama, the commander-in-chief, come to their aid? No, he lied and said, we're going over there, Gaddafi trying to kill his own people. That was a lie. The setup was they funded them jihadists, armed them jihadists, and those were the people that were protesting. And not just protesting, but they was killing and shooting at other Libyan citizens, primarily the black ones. See, you got to be pretty damn ignorant about the actions of these people in the past 8 years and to not have a problem with this man. Again, it ain't got nothing to do with his black skin. I heard people say, you know, they don't call other black people brothers and whatnot. You know, all brother, when I call somebody a brother or a sister, that just means I'm in solidarity with them. I'm in solidarity with them against racism and white supremacy. That's all that means. What's up, brother? What's up, sister? That promotes unity. But that man ain't acting like no brother to black people. So, I would never refer to CEO Obama as a brother because he ain't acting brotherly towards black people. Man, the things that some Africans are who have YouTube channels have said about what they've been going, man, they sorely disappointed in President Obama. They was like, you know, and they confused too. They thought this was a system, and you know, they believe the hype about this is the land of democracy and a force for good in the world, and so they believe that. But I heard this one African dude call him Martin Luther King's nightmare. I was like, damn, that's strong. That's strong right there. That's Martin Luther King's nightmare. Do you think if Martin Luther King Jr. was here today, just because there's a black person as president of the United States and doing what he did, do you think Martin Luther King wouldn't be saying anything, or would he be giving a speech why I'm against the war on Libya, or why I'm against the war on Afghanistan, or why I'm against bombing all these countries, why I'm against droning all these people without giving them a trial? I don't think he would be quiet, because that, you know, he knows his responsibility as a quote unquote leader, and other black people looking to him as a moral compass, and he has to be, you know, an example to other people, an example of righteousness, not an example of let's go alone so that don't nothing bad happen to us. Let's just keep our eyes down when we pass white people on the sidewalk. Matter of fact, get off the damn sidewalk when white people pass and just minimize conflict. We don't want conflict with white supremacists and all that. Man, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that there were black people all throughout history showing self-black respect with their resistance, and somebody standing up, even if they weren't successful in ending the system, they still provided an example of courage, an example of selflessness, and doing something to attack these races and not help them. I mean, we just can't tolerate it. I don't know. Is it my military background? I don't want to put it on my military background, because even when I was a knuckleheaded gangbanger in the damn streets of Detroit, I knew damn enough not to be seen collaborating with the rival gang, or I would be killed. There, I mean, it's just not in any culture that tolerates traitors and makes excuses for them. No culture, no culture, none that I have observed. Man, I'll tell you, man, some of us just too soft, man. We too soft. We don't understand war. We ain't built for war. And we need to stay out of that people activity on commenting on war. And again, just because you've been on the military don't necessarily mean you understand war. This is why we post the study, man. And so, but yeah, I just don't see how it's acceptable for a criminal to be pushed in front of us, in front of our children, by a black man, you know, who a lot of these people look up to, man. They follow him for direction, and he's their moral compass and whatnot. And I probably know a lot of these children don't know his role in helping white supremacy. They just happy to see a black person in that position because they've been suffering for so long with this inferiority complex, and somehow we think getting certain positions in their society, because it is their society, that equals success, when it don't, man. It don't. None of that, like Mr. Fuller would say, means nothing if we don't believe in practicing justice. And it's just that simple. It's not complex. It's a war with an army that practices injustice. And then there's, well, hell, we really don't have an army. We really just got a bunch of civilians and whatnot who hoping for somebody to stand up and practice justice. Damn, do y'all think if those 200,000 black men and women who stood up and priests, you know, at the when they start allowing black people to be in the military, in the Union Army. I mean, we had served in the Continental Army, but, you know, then they start when they don't need you no more, when they ain't got no enemies for you to go kill for them, you know, then they don't want you in the military and what have you. But then they let them come back in because they was losing the Civil War. Now, what if them 200,000 black people said, we going to sit on the sidelines and we ain't going to do nothing. We just going to, you know, let these white folks fight it out. But no, we saw that as an opportunity to free other black people in bondage. We wasn't going to wait on no white man to go free them. No, give us a rifle, give us the training, we'll go free them. And we did. So, tell you, man, we got a whole lot. I got a whole lot to learn, still learning. But some of this stuff, man, it just seems just elementary that we should be able to understand these things when we try to apply them to real life situations. I'm not trying to raise my grandsons to be fearful of white supremacists, white people, or anybody. They're not going to grow up with that fear. They're going to be taught that nobody has a right to mistreat you, and if they mistreat you, then you need to take action to stop that mistreatment, including violence. That's how my mama taught me. So I'm raised my grandson. That's how I raised my daughters. That's how my daughters raising their grandson. We ain't fearful of nobody. Yeah, it's more of these people than it is of us, but guess what? We still ain't living in fear. We going to do what we got to do. And if we need to die standing for what's ours and what, then we'll just damn die. This ain't the end of it. Some of the news articles that you can check out, I've linked up for you. Again, President Obama has been vouching for Hillary Clinton as the most qualified to be the next CEO of USA Inc. But when he's asked about her recklessness in handling top secret intelligence, he has nothing to say. That's just crazy, man. I mean, I wouldn't even refer this person. If this was my sister and she got a scathing report from her last job, and I know about it, and she asked me to write her, give her a recommendation. Well, if it's my sister, I might do it, but I would be like very nervous about it. I'll be like, you can't do what you did the last time. I'm putting my name on the line and what have you. I might would do it for my sister, but for anybody else, no, I'm not. You are incompetent. Look at what you did on your last job, dude. You got fired, man, for stealing. And I'm going to recommend you for a position with my company, or I'm going to hire you to be my personal assistant, or no. Now, y'all know y'all wouldn't hire this woman to run a dollar store with her work history. So why is it okay then to promote her to CEO of USA Inc.? And even though they're going to install her anyway, it looks like you ain't really got no control of that. But in your mind, you think you are. And that's a problem. So you might as well have done it because you're thinking you're doing it. You supporting a racist white supremacist who is very incompetent in business matters. So check that out. A majority of Americans who participated in an ABC Washington poll believe that Hillary Clinton should have been indicted instead of being given a pass by the Department of Justice and FBI. The vast majority of those people obviously were Republicans, right? Because they are, you know, they gonna hate her anyway. It don't have to be based on anything real or not. They don't like her. She's a Democrat. All right. But the independents, a majority of independents as well, believe this woman should have been indicted. And anybody that is thinking logically, that knows how to read English and read the statutes and listen to what that man said, you know, you thought at the end of his little conference he was going to say, we're recommending her to be indicted. Because he was laying it out, the case, perfectly. And then he made up that BS about there was no criminal intent. What, you mean tell me she didn't intend to circumvent the government record-keeping system by choosing not to use the government server and use her own private server, and nobody knew about it that was supposed to know in matters of security? Come on, man. We know this woman should have been indicted, and I just don't understand how anybody else, especially black people, when you know your butt would be under the jail. I bet you Obama couldn't have got away with this. I know Corinne Mack ain't get away with doing whatever the Department of Justice just indicted her for. That black woman who is a U.S. congressman out of Florida, they just busted her, man. Shaka Fatah, another black U.S. congressman. I got to correct my language, but non-white U.S. congressman. They busted him. They convicted him recently. Another black person. And so, you know, we see black people don't get treated equally under the law. We get the book thrown at us where white people get a pass and we co-signing on to a white person getting a pass. Damn. So don't ever complain again about white people not being held to the same standard as everybody else. If you're going to go ahead and endorse Hillary Clinton, you endorsing injustice, wrongdoing. Don't ever. And how can this woman, which she won't ever do, but call for the prosecution of killer cops, prison overseers? She can't credibly. They ain't going to laugh at her. Look, you just got the biggest pass in political history, man. She has no credibility. It's, man, I'm not the smartest person on the earth, but damn. Mr. Franklin, we'll call him a black person, Mr. Neil Franklin of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Instead of blaming black people for how they speak out against racism like President Obama just did, retired police major Neil Franklin of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition said recent casualties should be a wake-up call to change the way communities are policed. Franklin said the state of police community relations in America is in shambles, and that in itself is devastating to those of us who love the profession, who join the ranks of law enforcement to serve and protect our community. So he ain't get out there blaming black people. He didn't say don't be marching, don't be protesting. He didn't say, you know, don't do anything. He didn't get, hey, he didn't say nothing about black people like President Obama did. Because Major Neil Franklin know that we ain't the cause of nothing. We ain't the cause of this oppression. So the onus ain't on us. The onus is on them, not on us. It ain't on college students and high school students in the street to come up with solutions. Even though some of them have, you the dang gone lawmakers, you the policymakers, you the ones getting paid six figures or more a year to solve these problems. But then we have people who want to flip it on the kids. Oh, Black Lives Matter, where your solutions at? Where your proposals at? And look, all they supposed to do is point out the problem. That's all they supposed to do. The policy makers, the lawmakers are the ones that supposed to solve that problem. Ain't that what they get paid for? Aren't they running on their expertise as problem solvers? So what sense do it make then to blame black kids for not having solutions to 500 years of police terrorism or white terrorism in this country? Or institutional terrorism in this country, whatever you want to call it. Think about these things. They ain't on Black Lives Matter, whether you just using it as a hashtag or you actually belong to the organization under that name. You were not elected to solve these problems. All right? Ain't nobody telling jobless white folks out there, y'all need to solve the problem of joblessness. Y'all need to become job creators. Nobody's telling them that kind of stuff. No, when it comes to black people, oh, man, we want to be held to an impossible standard, man. Some good news to report. Close it out with some good news as Tando Radio Show get ready to come on air here at 6. Political prisoner Russell Maroon Schultz, a black man with a lot of self-respect who stood up to racism and white supremacy and is in prison as a result, has won his lawsuit. I shouldn't say won, but he settled his lawsuit against the Pennsylvania Department of Slavery to demand an end to his torture through decades-long solitary confinement. I think something like 29 or 39 years. We actually interviewed his son a couple of times on the program. Well, they've ended his solitary confinement. There was even monetary damages awarded and promises of health care in this settlement that was reached through the federal courts. All right. So I will get more into the details of that on a future program. I'll try to get on the lawyer, one of the main lawyers that argued his case. And so that's good news. He's out. He's not being tortured through solitary confinement. That's Russell Maroon Schultz, former Black Panther Party member, former member of the Republic of New Africa, a freedom fighter. I mean, the name Maroon, the nickname Maroon, comes from the enslaved Africans who would escape in the Caribbean islands and take to the mountains and whatnot and engage in guerrilla warfare from the mountains. That's what Maroon was. These were escaped enslaved Africans who didn't just simply escape, but they waged warfare, guerrilla warfare, you know, against the white supremacists and slavers. So I'm glad that Russell Maroon Schultz is no longer in solitary confinement, but that ain't good enough. They need to set him free. This is one of our soldiers, one of our warriors, who 40, 50 years ago said it's not right. This system of racism isn't right. It's not treating black people in a humane way, and I'm going to do something about it. I think he got started by creating his own group. I forget the name of the group, but I remember his son telling me, you know, when they chased this young black boy into his mother's house, chased him through the alley, he ran into his mother's house, and they just gunned him down right in front of his mother. So they sat out. And organized with other black men in the community to set up a self-defense community. I mean, a self-defense organization to police the damn slave catchers who continue to gun down black people in these streets. So, you know, salute to Russell Maroon Schultz. I hope that you will taste freedom soon and not, you know, by transitioning to join the ancestors. I want you to know freedom on this plane of existence. So that's it. Thank you for tuning in today and being patient with me. I've been very passionate and just feeling, you know, certain kind of way these days, man. I'm just tired of excuses. I'm tired of victim blaming. I'm just tired of the killing, man. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the slavery. I'm just tired of the suffering that I see, you know, so many members of humanity going through. And it's just not enough for me to sit here and just ignore all that suffering, even though I'm not suffering in the same ways that they are. So, you know, we got to become more selfless, man. And we also have to self-reflect a lot. And nobody is above criticism. If a person is engaging in conduct that is detrimental to the group, then that person has to be put out the group. They have to be ostracized. And we have to teach people why we had to put them out and why we had to ostracize them. Or else, you know, we can just allow them to continue to sabotage our efforts. Because that's all they doing. So, peace and blessings. I'll be back on air tomorrow at 4 o'clock p.m. Stay tuned for Tando Radio Show.